Our sermon passage for today is taken from the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 19 through 28. You can find this in your bulletins printed or in your Bibles in front of you. So we're reading John chapter 1, verses 19 through 28. This is the Word of God. And this is the testimony of John. When the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" He confessed and did not deny, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" And he answered, "No." So they said to him, "Who are you? We need to give an answer to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as the prophet Isaiah said." Now they had been sent from the Pharisees. They asked him, "Then why are you baptizing if you are neither the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?" John answered them, "I baptize with water, but among you stand one you do not know, even he who comes after me, the strap of whose sandal I am not worthy to untie." These things took place in Bethany across the Jordan, where John was baptizing. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that you sent your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, who came and took flesh and dwell among us and died on the cross. And you brought him back to life. And he is seated at your right hand, where he rules in the heavenly places. We thank you that you have revealed this to us in our hearts through the power of the Holy Spirit. And we thank you that we have the blessing of reading the good news, the gospel, knowing, Lord, that you have a wonderful plan for your creation, that you have redeemed your creation. You are the Redeemer. And we pray, Lord, that as we embark ourselves in this study of this, the Gospel of John, that you will help us to grow in our faith, to grow in our understanding of the gospel, to grow in humility before you, in our understanding of how we serve you, and that this will motivate us to serve our neighbors by loving them and sharing the gospel with them. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So today we're starting a new series from the book of John. This is actually not a new series because our brother elders has been preparing the way for months for studying this book. They have been reading faithfully from chapter after chapter and giving a short mini sermon every Sunday on these passages that we will be studying together. So basically what we will be seeing now is more an extended version of what they have been doing. Beside that, you will notice that we are picking up today from John chapter 1, verses 19 through 28. And it's almost like we missed verses 1 through 18. And that's not the case because on December, we have a mini-series on the book of John. And we had three sermons. I preached two of them and John Park preached one of them on this first chapter, verses 1 through 18. These actually verses 1 through 18, is what some commentarians consider as the prologue of the book. It's kind of the introduction of the book of John. John in them basically give a summary of what he's going to be talking about throughout the book. And if you look in your Bibles, if you have your Bibles, open your Bibles that are in front of you, we can look at few things that are very important from what Paul says, John, so used to talk about Paul, John says in verses 1 through 18. For example, one unique thing about the Gospel of John is that John goes back as far as to eternity to talk about Jesus. He says that Jesus was with God, that Jesus is God, and Jesus, in the beginning, was the Word. Jesus was God, Jesus was with God, and Jesus was God. Basically, it's reminding us that our Lord Jesus Christ is before everything was created. He is eternal, that He was with God, that He is also a member of the Trinity, the second person of the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit, and that Jesus Christ is also God, that He is divine, that He is God Himself. But also we learn from these verses, the introduction of the book of John, that He came to the world, that He became flesh, and that He became as the light of the world to bring light to a world full of darkness. John also made sure to introduce to us a person that is important in Jesus' ministry, because he was the one who came to prepare the way of the Lord, and is the evangelist, the John the Baptist. So you will see that we'll be going back and forth, at least in these few chapters at the beginning of the book, between John the Baptist and John the Evangelist. John the Evangelist is the one who writes the book, and John the Baptist is the one who came to prepare the way of the Lord. And in these verses, we also find this beautiful word of encouragement and word of a great joy for us, that this is what we find in verse 12 that says, that all who believe in Him, He make sons of God. So all these verses are very important because they basically summarize what we will be studying throughout the book of John. It's the gospel about the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ into the world. Now what we have today in front of us is John getting into the narrative of the book. John is starting to tell us about the story and the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. But of course he has to start by telling us about this person God sent with a specific task, which was to prepare the way of the Lord. And this is John the Baptist. And that's what we're reading today in verses 19 through 28. It's about John's encounter with some of the religious leaders who have questions for John. Now, as we look at these verses, I think that there are three things that we can learn from them. One is we will be learning about the ministry of John the Baptist. Then, as a result of that, we will be also learning about the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. And as a point of application, learning from John the Baptist's ministry and Jesus' ministry, we will learn about our ministry today. What is our ministry today? So let us start by looking at John the Baptist's ministry. So John the Evangelist started telling us that there was a committee sent by the Jews to ask John some questions about what he was doing in his ministry. We learned that from verse 19 that says, and this is the testimony of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who are you? One thing that is important to notice that when we look here or we read here that the Jews sent this committee, we should think more in the religious leaders of Jesus' time. Maybe most likely they were the Sanhedrin that were in Jerusalem and sent some representative from them to ask questions to John the Baptist. But why would they be so interested in hearing about John the Baptist? What was their concern? Well, we learned through these verses that John the Baptist was baptizing people in the desert. And what is unusual about that is that he was baptizing Jews as well. Usually, baptism was used for people who were converting from being Gentiles into Judaism. And you would not be baptizing a Jew who was considered already a member of the kingdom of God or the covenant family. They will go through the ceremony of circumcision, but they will be also baptized. In fact, baptism was not practiced in a way that somebody was baptizing people, but they were baptizing themselves as a ceremony of cleansing in order to become Jews. But we see something unusual here. John was baptizing others, and he was baptizing Jews as well. And that raised questions in the Jews' minds, and this is why they sent a committee to ask, okay, if you are baptizing people, tell us who you are. Tell us about your ministry. What are your credentials? Why are you doing this that is unorthodox in terms of their religion? They come to him and ask him, who are you? I think that we don't have here recorded a question that may have been one of the questions that they ask is, who are you? Are you the Christ? I say that because John answers right away, I am not the Christ. It is possible that they ask, are you the Christ? In fact, the sentence that John uses to describe the Baptist response is a very strong sentence in Greek when you want to deny something that people are believing. He says, he confessed and did not deny, but confessed, I am not the Christ. Then after that, okay, so this doesn't answer the question that the Judaizers have. The Jews go to ask John another question. They ask him, what then? Are you Elijah? Then you might wonder, why would they be asking that question? It is basically because there was a prophecy in the book of Malachi in chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. I read to you, see, I will send you the prophet Elijah before that great and dreadful day of the Lord comes. The Jews thought that maybe he was the fulfillment of that prophecy, or he was claiming to be the fulfillment of that prophecy, and therefore they asked him, are you then Elijah? The answer of John was, no, I am not. I am not Elijah. Now the thing with this is that we know from the Gospels that our Lord Jesus Christ said that John the Baptist's ministry represents the ministry of Elijah. It's in a sense the fulfillment of that prophecy. The difference is that actually John was answering the right answer because he was not in himself Elijah. He was not the incarnation of Elijah, but he was fulfilling that prophecy. And therefore, he could say, I am not Elijah. Then the following question then was, are you the prophet? Are you the prophet? Why would they ask such a question? Again, it is because there was also a prophecy in the Old Testament. You find that in Deuteronomy chapter 18 that says, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your brothers. You must listen to him. The Jews were expecting that before the coming of the Lord, somebody like Moses will appear and will prepare the way for the coming of the Messiah. John answered, I am not the prophet. Then if you read with me, verse 22 says, so they said to him, who are you? We need to give an answer to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself? So far, the committee have not found the answer that they need to bring back because they know that John the Baptist is not the Christ, is not Elijah, is not the prophet. But that doesn't answer the question, why then is he baptizing people? Why then is he baptizing Jews? Is he doing something that is out of God's plan, out of the scriptures? Then John answered to them. And here is where you're going to find three things that John said about himself that describe his ministry. The first one, I will say John is the voice. John is the voice. Read with me verse 23. It says, I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as the prophet Isaiah said. First of all, John is saying, I am fulfilling a prophecy. The prophecy is from Isaiah, Isaiah 40, verse 3. I'm fulfilling a prophecy. What is my role? My role is to be the voice. The voice is somebody who comes announcing the coming of the Messiah. Now, it is interesting that John described, or even the scripture describes John as a voice or the voice. John is not the face. John is not the person that is coming. He is just simply a voice, because he is coming only to give testimony to the one that is to come. John is the voice. But also John is the road worker. John is the road worker. He says, I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as the prophet Isaiah said. I make a reference before that our brother elders were preparing the way for months in order, I am not the one who is to come, for me just to come and preach the gospel. But that was the way or the purpose of John's ministry. Remember, there is 400 years of silence between the Old Testament and the New Testament. John is the last prophet of the Old Testament. Think about this. Think for a moment that for a long time you stopped hearing about this prophecy that the Messiah will come. It is true that that was in the minds of the Jews, because they were thinking about a king who would deliver them from the oppression of the Romans and will set them free and will put them in power. But John is coming to prepare the way of the Lord in the sense of preparing the hearts of those who are to receive the King. It's building a road for the King, our Lord Jesus Christ, to come. So what are John's ministry so far? John is the voice and John is the road worker. The third one is that John is less than a slave. John is less than a slave. Look with me, verse 26, when he's asked regarding why then are you baptizing? John answered, I baptize with water, but among you stand one you do not know, even who comes after me, the strap of whose sandal I am not worthy to untie. Rabbis were teachers who were teaching disciples in Jesus' time. And the disciples were supposed to do everything that the rabbi would instruct them to do. That was the role of the disciple, follow the rabbi's instruction. But one of the things that the disciples were not called to do was to untie the strap of the sandals of the rabbis, because that was the work of a slave. Now John is saying, I'm not even worthy to be called a slave of Christ, because I am not even worthy to untie the strap of the sandals of our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, what John is saying, I'm just a servant. I'm just a servant. So John's ministry is, he is the voice, he is the road worker, and he is a servant of Christ. I said less than a slave. Now, keep that in mind, because this is going to help us at the end to understand a little bit about our own ministry. Now, let us look at Jesus' ministry. John the evangelist is talking here about John the Baptist. But by looking at what he is saying about John the Baptist and his interactions with the Jews, we can learn a lot about Jesus' ministry. The first thing is that Jesus is the Christ. Jesus is the Christ. Carson will say about John's confession that he was not the Christ. This is his strong denial constituted part of his positive witness of the true Christ. The fact that John denied that he was the Christ he was witnessing right away about the one that was to come. Now, when we think about Christ, the Christ word comes from the word Christos in the Greek. And that is the translation of the word Messiah from the Hebrew. The Messiah was the anointed one, was the promise that was given to Israel that God would send a king like David to deliver them from the oppression. Now, what is important also to remember is that the problem with the Jews is that they were expecting that king, that Messiah, will deliver them from the oppression of the Roman Empire, when in reality, the Messiah was coming to deliver his people from sin, from the slavery of sin, and from the power of Satan. And his people was not limited to the people of Israel, but all the nations that were promised back in the Old Testament. So Christ comes as the Messiah, as Christos, the King. This is not Jesus' last name. Jesus Christ is Jesus, his title, his role as the Messiah. Also, we learn that Jesus is the Lord. Verse 23, I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as the prophet Isaiah said. The word Lord comes from the Greek Kyrios. And that word represents that Jesus is the master and owner of everything. Even in the Greek translation of the Old Testament, the Kyrios is a translation of the word Yahweh, which is reminding us that Jesus Christ is divine, that he's the owner, that he's the master, that he owns everything, that he is the almighty, sovereign God coming to the world. Also, we learn that Jesus is the prophesied one. I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, make straight a way of the Lord, as the prophet Isaiah said. The whole Old Testament is about Jesus. It's pointing to Jesus. Start with what we learned, or what we know as the proto-evangelium, the first announcement of the gospel, which is in Genesis 3:15-16. From there on, you keep hearing that it's pointing to our Lord Jesus Christ. The history of the world is about Jesus. Think about this. It is because when we read the Bible, this book, the Bible, is actually describing the history of humanity, because it's in God's plan for humanity. It's true that some people will not recognize or will not realize who is God and who is Jesus, but the center of the history of humanity is about Jesus and him glorified. Also, we learn from these verses that Jesus is the worthy one. Even he, verse 27, who comes after me, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. By contrast, what we learned here, John was not worthy. Jesus is the only one worthy. Why was John not worthy? Because John, though a prophet, though sent by God, was still a sinner. John needed a savior, and that savior is our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is the only one perfect, the only one worthy of our praise and our adoration. No one else. We learn from these verses that Jesus is the worthy one. And we also learned from the context of this text that Jesus is the giver of the Spirit. This is because if you go and read this same event in the books of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, you will learn this as well. For example, Matthew 11. I baptize you with water for repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandal I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. If you read the saying in Mark, it says like this, and he preached, saying, after me comes he who is mightier than I, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. And if you read the same in Luke, it tells like this. John answered them all saying, I baptize you with water, but he who is mightier than I, it is coming, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Jesus is the one who baptized you with the Holy Spirit. Because by trusting in Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes to you, changes your heart, and gives you new life in Christ. So if we look at these verses, we see Jesus' ministry is, he's the Christ, he's the Lord, he's the promised one, he's the worthy one, and he is the giver of the Spirit. Now we think about these two things, Jesus' ministry and John's ministry. What can we learn as a point of application about our own ministry? First of all, we learn that Jesus Christ is the Christ, is the Messiah. He's reminding us that he is our King, that he is over us. He is the King. We also learn that Jesus is the Lord, that he is the Master, that he is the one whom we deserve. He deserves all our adoration because he owns what he created. He is the promised one. The whole Bible and the whole world is about Jesus and his plan of redemption. He is worthy of our adoration, and he is the one who gives the Spirit to people. What is our response? I think that when we look at John's example, help us to see how we serve the Lord. It is not that we will be, or there will be more Johns, because there is certainly only one John the Baptist who announced the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. But we all are a voice for the Lord. We share the gospel with the world with our voice, and it's not to point people to us, but to point people to Christ, who is the King, who is the Lord, who is the worthy one, who is the promised one, who is the only one who can give the Spirit to people. We are the road workers in this time. We are the road workers in this time. We prepare the way for people to understand the message of the gospel. We prepare the way for them to come to Christ and understand the good news of salvation. And we have to remember that we are not worthy to untie his sandals, that we are only servants of Christ. We are people that are ministers of his grace, still in great need of his grace daily. And that is something that is very important for us to remember, that we, as Christians, as bearers of this wonderful news, continue to be just servants of Christ our King. My prayer, brothers and sisters, our prayer should be that we will have the same attitude that John the Baptist had when he embraced this mission. Think about this. There is nobody in the world that has received greater task than prepare the way of the Lord Jesus Christ, like John the Baptist. Yet he considered himself just a voice, just a road worker, just a servant. Let us serve the Lord with this heart. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are so gracious to choose people like us who are unworthy of your grace. That is what it is, grace. It is because we don't deserve it. We don't deserve to be called your people, but in your love, grace, and mercy, you have chosen us to receive the understanding of the good news, but also to become your servants. As we go out and are the aroma of Christ to those around us, help us, Lord, to be the aroma of Christ to those who are around us. Help us, Lord, to have humility, to always remember that you are the Lord, that you are the King, and that we only point people to you, that you are the only one, Lord Jesus, who deserved all glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.